Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited
by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. Hi, everyone. Assalamu alaikum and welcome back to another episode of This Muslim Girl Podcast. And today I am bringing you an episode that was suggested to me by someone on Instagram. And they asked what were the tips that I would give to start off a new year on the right foot. Not really like what is a New Year's resolution, my New Year's resolutions or anything like that, but what are some things that I would suggest that would start the New Year's on a good foot to help you achieve hopefully those goals or resolutions or whatever you want to call them for the New Year. So I kind of wanted to jump on that one first and record this episode based off of that one because I don't think it would catch much relevancy later on. I mean, it could be because, I mean, in all honesty, like who says that you have to start on January 1st or on a Monday or any of that stuff? But I know that like it tends to be a sort of habit and there's this like energy in the air in the new year where everyone wants to start fresh. And so I just feel like it's good timing. But of course, if this is something that you're listening to and it's like, I don't know, August, it could still apply. I truly believe that like any time is a good time to start new habits or to make change in your life to do better. So I've written down a few of my tips. To be honest, a lot of them very generic. I'm not coming up with anything that's like super groundbreaking, but I will say that these things combined have changed my life tremendously and have helped me just be a lot more productive, happy, healthy, all of that good stuff. And so I'm going to go through them. I have about 9 or 10 that to me are the main pillars of good habits, good practices that I think help set anyone up for success, whether that's just, you know, your everyday job that you're going to in the morning, whether it's reaching a goal for fitness or a business or anything like that, anything that you want to develop in your life that you want to change, improve. I truly believe that these things work well and they really work well together. So it's not like you can just take one. I feel like you have to have a combination of most, if not all. And then I have two at the end that I think aren't as necessary. And maybe after, you know, you've picked up a couple of really good habits and you find yourself in a really good place. And so if you've already gotten to that point and you want to try something a little bit different, I feel like these last two things that I'm going to mention at the very end are a great way of just elevating, you know, what you're already feeling or taking it to the next level. So I'm just going to jump into the first one. And this is a first for many reasons. And it's because to me, it's the most important piece to all of these. I just feel like this is the foundation to everything else that's going to follow after. I know not everyone believes in maybe God or the existence of God or in a religion specifically, but I know a lot of my listeners are Muslim. And so the first is to build your day or plan your day around your prayers. So as Muslims, we have 5 daily prayers that we pray. They're pretty much spread throughout the day. Once I've established that habit or that like intention to plan my day around my prayers, and obviously this isn't the easiest thing to do, especially if you're working and you work like at an office and maybe there's not a place for you to pray or you're like constantly on the go, but it also can apply to just when you're at home, that let's say you're making plans and someone says that they want to go out or you have plans to go to the grocery store for a grocery run, that you would, you know, kind of plan it out. And so like maybe it's, you know, 20 minutes before Salat al-Dhuhr, and so like you want to maybe hold it off and just be conscious of that so that you could pray and then that you can go out after. And the reason that I say this is because to me the 5 daily prayers are a moment where you stop and reorient yourself throughout the day, reorient your focus. Like sometimes we get so dragged by like the things that are happening, the stresses, the worries, the, you know, the tasks that we're supposed to meet, timelines, deadlines, just our own emotions, our, you know, overthinking thoughts. And it's like, it's a moment for us to stop and to reorient ourselves. And I just find that it's very therapeutic. And it's interesting because obviously we see this a lot with people who meditate. So with like non-Muslims who practice meditation and do that like as soon as they wake up or in the middle of their day or before they go to sleep, to just have that moment to take a pause and remove themselves a little bit from the worries of the world that allows them to, you know, breathe very well and calm their mind, calm their thoughts, calm their nervous system down. And I find that, like, for me, obviously prayer does that. And so once you can establish a day where you know that you have the times allotted for those prayers or around the times of those prayers, then I find that it's so much easier to make them. And then therefore you're not having, you know, ending up praying three or four prayers all at once after your day is done, and or not praying them at all because you find that, you know, it's already too late, you're tired, you find excuses for yourself, which is not a good thing. But, and that can be a topic on its own. It's just like finding, you know, the consistency when it comes to Salah. And I can do an episode on that, maybe with someone who has a lot more knowledge than I do. I can only speak from my personal experience, but I think that that's a very important piece. So that's number one. Number two, something that I think, you know, alhamdulillah, I was just like very blessed with naturally, because I know it doesn't come easy to a lot of people, but waking up early is a game changer. I'm not gonna lie, I've definitely had times where I've slept in and it feels good, but I find that after a certain amount of time, I tend to find myself wanting to wake up and get back into that routine where I'm up really early. And waking up early looks different for other people, because I think that, you know, it depends on when your day starts. So if your day doesn't start till like 9 or 10 a.m., let's say like that's your work schedule, or you work later in the day, then that might look a little different. But basically, it's just to give you that space to be able to have moments for yourself and be proactive in other things early in the morning. It also, you know, there's studies that show that like people who wake up earlier tend to be a lot more productive, have better sleep. I'm sure there's a list of benefits, but for me personally, I can say that it does help my mental health. It makes me feel really good that I woke up early, and it feels like my day is just so long to get a lot of things done. I find that when I do sleep in and I do have some things to do, I wake up and it's like the day's escaped me, because by the time I wake up, I shower, I clean up my room, and, you know, just even want to go get breakfast or make breakfast, the day just slips by and it's not even really breakfast anymore. Sometimes it's lunch. So waking up in the morning has really great benefits, and it really helps you sleep better at night, or like so that you're not having to stay up super late at night. And so, yeah, that's going to be number two. I do want to say, because I'm realizing it now as I'm speaking, that a lot of what I'm listing is going to be very hard for a lot of people to even think about adapting, and that's because I don't have any kids, I'm not a mother, so these things I imagine are very different for someone who's in that situation. So maybe you know, we need to ask someone who is a mother, someone who's a father, to see what good practices they've maybe implemented, because I'm not someone who could speak on that, because I'm thinking about like waking up early and like, you know, that's such a, you know, that's all I have to worry about, right? But I'm sure that for someone who has like a newborn or a toddler or even a kid in school, like your focus is on like them. When you wake up, your first thought is like, I need to feed them, I need to get them ready, I need to do this, etc. So again, I am totally aware that this is not going to apply to everyone. This is just my own personal habits that I've adapted. And so that's what I'm going to be sharing. The next thing, which kind of ties into waking up early, and it is something that I actually have trouble with, which is going to sleep early. That's not necessarily a problem for me. I can sleep really early, but it's not being on your phone before going to sleep. And that's really hard, because I feel like you can get really, you know, lost on your phone, whether that's messaging people or you're on certain apps and you're just kind of like going through each one. Catching up on your day if you're especially busy. And so that's just your moment to, I don't know, catch up on news, on whatever's happening in the world with the people that you follow on social media. But I do think that there is a benefit to shutting off before you go to sleep. And so like maybe putting away electronics. Sometimes what I do, which I mean, arguably isn't any different, but like watching TV. I mean, my screen is pretty far, and watching TV can like allow me to relax, especially if it's like a comedy or a documentary, something that's like very calm and soothing that I know isn't going to affect my sleep. Sometimes I can be really triggered by certain content online, especially if it's like very violent or something, and or triggers like something in me that then, you know, my mood is kind of messed up. And to just expand on that a little bit, what you follow on social media, like what you consume, is going to have massive impact on your day, how you feel. And so I wouldn't even add this as a separate point. I would just add it as an extension, but really be conscious of like the type of content you consume. Go through the people that you follow and see how many people you can remove based off of just that their content isn't benefiting you in any way. You know, if there's something that, you know, someone posts and it tends to bother you more than it helps you or makes you feel good, then that's probably someone that you should remove, especially when we're able to see into complete strangers' lives and what's going on. And we all know that social media is a facade for the most part and is a place where people curate their lives and they're showing you the best parts. And, you know, it's very much, it's a very thoughtful process in the way that they create their content. They know what they're doing when they're posting because they know how they want people to consume it. So it's not as, you know, organic. And I'm not saying everybody, but most people, it's not as natural as what you think is really happening in their lives. You know, the reality of their life is that they could be struggling with a lot of things, but they choose not to show that. So just going through and maybe doing like a cleanse of your social media or purge of just things that don't serve you. I would also suggest like going and trying to find very positive, inspirational type of accounts. And that could be, let's say you're someone who's really looking into investing or like financial literacy. So like find, you know, pages that have a lot of content that's educational that can motivate you towards that. If you're looking towards, you know, getting into a healthy lifestyle, then find stuff that's suited for that. I wouldn't jump into the hardcore stuff because you also don't want to put yourself in a situation where you then start comparing yourself to like these unrealistic standards of, you know, people at the gym who spend like, I don't know, 4 hours in the gym, like live, breathe, eat, wake up, sleep, whatever, the gym. And so just more, I would say, realistic accounts that might be motivational. And I find those, and I actually find those usually in smaller accounts. So like micro influencers, I think is what they're called. So like people who have like, I don't know, 5,000, 10,000 followers. So, you know, they're not out there with like the 8 high definition cameras and like the super edited photos. They're a lot more, I think, relatable. And those ones are the ones that probably would be really good for you to consume. But anyways, that's just my 2 cents. But like cleanse your social media space, maybe even detox off of social media, like take a break off of it. Sometimes that does you really good, especially if you're like me and you can get easily distracted and spend a lot of time and boom, like 2 hours later, you're still on your phone laying on your bed. Please don't tell me I'm not the only one that does that, because I know I'm not, but it is a problem. And so I tend to go through little moments where I just delete a lot of apps. Or what I'll do is like I'll have, you know, my podcast and my Nudist Nook like on my iPad, so I can still access them if I get messages or I'm working on projects, but it won't be on my phone. So if I'm outside, if I'm shopping, if I'm, you know, at a coffee shop, I'm not on my phone. I'm like really, you know, present in the moment of whatever it is that I'm doing. Okay, on to the next one. Drinking water. Again, something that I'm not very good at, but I've been trying. One of the best things that's really helped me with drinking a lot more water is I bought a 32-ounce, I don't know how many liters that is. So for anyone that doesn't live in the US and doesn't use liquid ounces and uses liters, sorry, you could do the conversion, but 32-ounce bottle that I take with me everywhere. Like even before I go out, I just fill it up. It stays in my car. It'll stay cold the entire day. And that way I'm always just reaching for it and drinking. And I also find that anything that has a straw, I don't know why, but it helps me drink more water. If I have to lift the bottle up, I mean, does that make me lazy? I don't know. If I have to lift the bottle up, it's not attractive to me. So I like something with a straw. And yeah, I think I got mine from Target, but I fill it up. I always make sure it's in my room right next to my bed. And I try to make a conscious effort to drink that. And that bottle is specifically just for filtered water. I do like adding or drinking flavored water, but I'll just, you know, either I'll add a little bit of like pomegranate juice into my water, or I'll do Crystal Light. don't ask me if that stuff is good or not for you. I drink it and I like it, and it helps me drink tons of water. And I only just put a little bit because I just like a little hint of flavor. I've also really been loving sparkling water. But again, I don't know how, you know, well that works when we talk about hydration and like how much water you're intaking. But those are like the things that really helps me. When I go out to eat, I always order a cup of water. I rarely drink like soda drinks or like mixed drinks or anything like that. But I always find that if I, you know, order water, I'm like drinking it as I'm waiting for my food. When my food comes, I'm drinking water. So just trying to put water wherever I can in front of me. And that way I'm able to remember to drink. Because if I do not have water in front of me, I do not get thirsty. Like aside from the summer, like I will not get thirsty. And it's really rare that I'll crave water if I'm not feeling dehydrated from like working out or from, you know, heat. That's probably it. Like I can drink coffee all day, every day. And you know, I'd survive. But then my skin, my body, the headaches, all that stuff, it's not good. So drinking lots of water, you know, all of these things are going to be interconnected in a way. And what they all really lead to is feeling good about yourself. Like you're nourishing your body. You're taking care of this vessel that is housing your soul. And when you take care of it, it will take care of you. And I think that's like, you know, really that's really what the goal is to take care of this body that inshallah is going to take you through, you know, the entirety of your life, and not just take you through it, but take you through it having a quality of life that means, you know, feeling good, not having chronic pains, not having trouble with sleep, not having trouble with eating. You know, health is one of those things that like I think we can easily take for granted, because when we don't have a problem, it's, you know, out of sight, out of mind. But the second something happens, the second something bothers us, we're uncomfortable, we're in pain, we have any type of ailment, we're, you know, suddenly like we remember like what it was like before. Anyways, so the next one is to move your body. This one, I think I didn't mention this before, but aside from the first one, these are not in any type of specific order. I think I was just writing them down. So the next one is to move your body. And again, that's going to look different for everyone. Some people might already be pretty active, going to a gym, or runners into sports. And so that, you know, that's probably not even an issue for them. But I think it's important that we get into the habit of moving our bodies one way or another, especially since COVID. I think a lot of people, if they did have a gym routine or they had a workout routine or they were just doing stuff before, it might have changed, and you're having to pull yourself out of, you know, the quarantine kind of, you know, lockdown at home phase that we experience, and it's hard to get back into that routine. So this could be just taking a walk. This could be going to a shopping center or like a Target, a Walmart, and just walking around. Because I think that just even 20 to 30 minutes of walking is better than nothing. And then if you could do more at home, like stretching, yoga, at home workouts, you could do like jump rope. Obviously, you could go to the gym, you can go hiking. There's a lot of things that you can do, but just to get your body moving. And so for me, I think on a good week, I probably am active 5 to 6 days a week. But it would look different on each day. It's not like I do the same thing. So maybe 2 to 3 times a week, I might go to the gym. Other days, I might do workouts at home. At least once a week, it's usually on a weekend, I go on a hike. If I'm working from home and I feel like I've just been sitting down all day and I want a change of scenery, depending obviously on the weather, if it's nice, I'll go outside. But if it's not, then I'll go to Target, which is one of my favorite places, and just kind of like walk around. And I find that that's just very, I don't know, cathartic for me. And it feels good. And I know that like I'm doing, you know, just moving my body a little bit. Maybe this should have been the second thing that I talked about. But like moving your body, especially right when you wake up, is so, so important. Like we really have to take care of our bodies. We are so blessed with, you know, youth, and privileged with youth being young, that our bodies still are getting us through a lot and is able to be resilient to a lot. But if we don't take care of it now, we're going to get to a point where, you know, you're going to have to be reactive to a lot of conditions and ailments. And I think that that's like, for me, that's what motivates me to stay healthy, is like, I don't want to be reactive because I don't know to what extent the damage would be done at that point. And so I don't want to have to like go through that process of like trying to fix myself or trying to figure out if there's ways that I can, you know, heal whatever problem it could be. So I'd rather do my part. And then if, God forbid, so I, you know, people fall ill all the time and they're healthy, but at least I know that I didn't play part in that downfall, if that makes sense, or like in that health condition or anything that I would experience in my health or wellness that I didn't take part in. I think that that would bring me a lot of peace, because we all know that like with physical ailments comes mental ailments. Like people who are physically ill also tend to struggle mentally because they're thinking about their condition and it brings them down. And I think one thing for sure I wouldn't want to deal with is the blaming myself or feeling like I did this to myself and, you know, having regrets, I guess, in some way. And so yes, moving your body. Now moving to the next point, because I can talk about that probably for a whole podcast, but I won't. Invest in your mental health / self-care. So very similar to your body, like I would say very, very similar. It's just a different part of who you are, right? So the same way that you would take time to, I don't know, work out, go on a walk or whatever, like take time or moments for yourself to be present, be in the moment, practice mindfulness.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Mindfulness was one of those things where I was just like, it sounds really silly because I'm just like, okay, yeah, so I'm here. And what? Like, this isn't helping my situation. And it wasn't until like I read more about it and like my therapist kind of was more persistent about it that it actually helped me. And I think that, subhanAllah, like a lot of the stuff that I learned through my mental health journey, I found that Islam prescribes a lot of things that really address some of those things. It's just not maybe, you know, presented in that way. It's not presented as mindfulness. But when we talk about khushu' and salah and like, you know, that being present in that moment that it's just between you and God, I think is very similar to what, I don't know, Western or like modern day mindfulness is or resembles. But I think it's very important that you have to find what helps you lift yourself up, what boosts your mood, and continue with that, create habits out of those things. And so that could be drives with like some really good music, that could be going to a park and sitting and reading a book, that could be talking to people, going out with friends. That could also mean the opposite. That could be, you know, spending time alone, watching a movie by yourself. Like, everyone is different. And so some people, what helps them is like being extroverted and going out, and that boosts their mood. And other people, it actually does the opposite. And so for them, it would be, you know, spending some time alone, working on things that make them happy. You know, maybe it's doing your nails or doing something creative, whatever it is. But you just have to find that thing that makes you feel good. And with that, you can incorporate like a self-care routine, which is basically taking care of yourself. And this goes for both men and women, but, you know, taking care of your skin, taking care of your hair, just taking care of yourself so that you feel good, that you look good. And all of that is going to boost your confidence, make you feel good. It's going to overall boost your mood and how you feel. Next, I would say, and again, this might not apply to everyone, but if you're someone who has a lot of responsibilities at home, maybe this is something that's applicable to mothers, parents, older siblings, older daughters, especially the ones who have a lot going on, is spending 1 hour a day, maybe not every day, but like on most days, doing something that is just for you. If you are someone who is an empath, if you are someone who is very giving and a reliable person, you are the go-to person to most people around you. It is really important that you find times in your day where you do something and it benefits absolutely no one but yourself. Because what happens is you tend to overextend yourself, and it's something that maybe you don't recognize immediately, but over time, it's going to be something that is going to negatively affect you. I remember reading a quote that, and I'm going to butcher it, but hopefully you get the gist of it. But basically, it was like, if you're an empath and you don't have self-awareness or like creating boundaries with other people, not overextending yourself, then that becomes self-sabotage, because you allow people to not take advantage of you, because maybe that's not their intention, but you overly make yourself available, and you'll always make up an excuse for the way that people treated you, for the reasons why you're putting other people as a priority before yourself. Obviously, there's instances where, you know, someone else might take a priority because if there's a circumstance that is, you know, more important than whatever it is you need to do. But I'm talking about where it becomes more often than not that you're willing to put your own self or sacrifice your own needs for other people. So now, the interesting thing about this point is that it could be an hour for any of the things above, because a lot of those things I've already listed, like waking up early, working out, investing in your mental health, whatever it is, that hour could be whatever your heart desires, but it needs to be something that is beneficial to you. Sometimes that could be checking out. That could be you turning off your phone, turning on a movie, you know, sitting, watching something alone, reading a book. It could be a time for a creative outlet. You know, if you are someone who is creative like me, maybe take on something that you've never tried before. I've always loved, you know, dabbling in other things. Sometimes it works, sometimes it absolutely is a disaster, but it's totally fine because it's an experience nonetheless. And so spending 1 hour a day that is strictly for you doing something that you love, I think is very important. And 1 hour maybe isn't enough for some people. Like if you have a lot more time, then that's great. But I think 1 hour minimum, for especially for people that are really busy, if you can do that, if you are married and you have a partner, maybe that's something you guys can work on together. Having that communication and letting the other person know, like, look, I need an hour to do something for myself. Sometimes it's just to go out for a drive. Maybe you want to go shopping or go to a coffee shop and just sit and people watch for an hour. And then you can do that for them. You know, maybe then you can give them that 1 hour that they can go and do something for themselves. But I always think it's very important that you don't lose your sense of self and who you are all the while trying to take care of everyone else around you. My next point is to be a tidy person. I don't understand how people can be productive in untidy spaces. Like that could never be me. I can't even function like to leave my room without my room being tidy. And anyone that like lives with me knows this, but it's very important for me that my space is tidy. And I'm going to go out on a limb and kind of expose myself, to be honest. I really do think that I have a slight problem, because I think I'm almost like an extreme version of this. But like I will go down to the kitchen, and before I even make myself coffee or breakfast, like I make sure the kitchen is clean. So let's say someone woke up before me and, you know, cooked something or made coffee. And so like there might be some dishes or, you know, some, I don't know, milk, some almond milk on the counter or a plate out. That doesn't sit well with me. And I know a lot of people are probably listening to this thinking like, that's really weird. Nuri, you should go, you know, talk to someone about this. I have definitely talked to someone about this. I'm working on it, but I like to clean first, and I'm that person. I'm that person that like lights a candle. I make my coffee. I make my breakfast. It feels good to me. And so I'm not saying that that's the extreme version that anyone should take on, but I do think it's important that if you work from home, if you're just at home and you're wanting to find yourself being productive when it comes to, you know, going to the gym or getting your day started, work related, whatever it is, wake up and like tidy your environment, tidy the space around you, and you'll see that in a tidier environment, you'll just feel a lot more relaxed and motivated to want to do things. I think that sometimes, you know, an unmade bed is like super tempting throughout the whole day. I feel like you see your bed unmade and it's like, oh, it looks very comfortable. Like I just want to jump back in. But when you make your bed, it looks so tidy and clean that you like don't want to mess it up. So you're not going to find yourself being attracted to it, I guess. I don't know. Maybe this is me and I'm not making sense, but I do think that tidying your environment is very important. It also helps you become very, it just makes life easier. I think also being tidy makes life easier. Like, for example, when I reorganize my drawers over winter break, I find that it's so much easier to prepare for the gym the night before because like everything is so organized and set. Like I know what drawer to open for my tops, you know, for my bottoms and all that stuff. It's just so easy. Whereas before, it wasn't as tidy. I was like rummaging through stuff and like, where did I put this, you know? So it's not going to get in the way of that process of like me preparing myself to go to the gym. And so it's just one less barrier. So I do think it removes barriers. It's easy to find the things that you want. It's easy to sit in a clean environment and to like focus on the work that you need to do, because then you're not eyeing like how messy, you know, your space is. So I just think tidying your environment is just like super, super good for being productive and setting yourself up for success for whatever goals that you have. Okay, so I have two more and then I think I'm done. And then I'll go on to the other two that are not so, you know, important or are like, if you can get most of these, then I think the last two can apply to you, but they're not that important. I wouldn't jump to the last two. Here's a thought: surround yourself with good people. What does this mean? Or let me elaborate. Good people. This is people who are good for your heart, you know, good for your deen, good for healthy habits. Good people, people who inspire you, people who support you, people who uplift you. And if you cannot find those type of people, or if you have people in your life that are, especially if they're very close to your life, it's one thing to have like an acquaintance or someone that you know. It's another thing to keep those people really near and dear to your heart. You have to really distance yourself from people who do not bring you anything or do not bring you any positivity or inspiration or support. It really changes a lot about you when you can be surrounded by people who understand you, and again, just positive people. You are highly influenced by the company that you keep, and so if you are on a journey to strengthen your deen, if you're on a journey to, you know, improve your health and wellness, if you're on a journey to grow, I don't know, business or career goals, you need to surround yourself with like-minded people, because if you don't, then they're either going to look at you like you're crazy and maybe, you know, make you feel weird for having those type of goals and aren't going to be there to support you and uplift you. But also, like, you could be replacing them or having the right people in your life that are going to lift you on the days that you feel your lowest, the days that you feel like giving up, the days where you're like unsure about what the hell you're doing. You reach out to certain people or you're surrounded by those people, they're going to be there to like hold your hand, to remind you of like why you started this in the first place. And I mean, alhamdulillah, I'm very happy and lucky to have people like that in my life. And I think both those people and myself know that mutually we are where we are in life because we've been able to be in each other's lives in that way, where any positive progression, anything, like anything that has been good for me, my mental health, my spirituality, all of that stuff has been supported by those people who are closest to me, who have nurtured those things inside of me and allowed me to like really grow and blossom into, you know, into the goals and into those journeys that I wanted. So that's a very important piece. And anyone who does not provide you that, you know, you just gotta either cut them off or distance yourself. Sometimes you can't really cut people off because they might be too close. You know, maybe there's a history, whatever it might be. That's why we distance ourselves. That's for those people. And then for people that there's absolutely no reason why you shouldn't cut them off and they serve no purpose in your life and they're not family or whatever, cut, you know. Or what does that lady say in the video? Block, 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 block. Do that. Whatever that means to you, cutting them off, distancing yourself, letting time pass and just letting that relationship die away, letting that relationship fade away, because you owe it to yourself to put yourself first, okay? And that leads to the last one, which is, it's a very cliche, but be kind to yourself. And This is actually a really good one to end on because it is the beginning of the year and a lot of people are obviously, you know, thinking about the next year. What are their goals? What are they planning on doing? And the reality of it is like no one's going to reach all of their goals. You're going to have moments of high where you're like, yes, I'm on a roll. Like I feel great. And then you're going to have moments of low where you're just like, what am I doing? This isn't what I thought it was. I'm a failure. Why did I think I could do this? You're going to question yourself. And in those moments, this is where this applies. You need to be kind to yourself. And the way that I look at it and what's really helped me with this specifically is when I, you know, like through therapy, I learned about you really pulling yourself, not just yourself, but sometimes other people, but like out of specific, let's say, roles or titles that you put people on. So like self, like I am myself. So I can say whatever I want to myself, right? Because it's just me. But for whatever reason, I might have a filter when I'm talking to someone else. And so I've learned that like I have to, in a way, put a filter like that on when I talk to myself. So for example, if a friend of mine comes to me and says, you know what, I'm really struggling, like I've been putting in all this work and I'm not seeing results, I'm not going to sit there and be like, yeah, you're a failure. I'm wondering if you should just give up. Like, no, you're going to be that person who's going to reinforce some positivity back into them. You're going to try to be a source of encouragement. Like you're going to support them, right? You would never say those negative things. So like, why would you say that to yourself? And it was like an aha moment. I was like, yeah, that's right. Why would I say that to myself? So sometimes what I do is I have to take a second and I have to say, okay, I have to imagine that someone else came to me with this problem or feeling the way I feel, how would I respond to them? And that's how I started responding to myself because I had to be kinder to myself. It's not fair that I, you know, would put myself down even more than what I felt. Like, don't get me wrong, I'm very honest with myself. If I feel like I'm doing something that is toxic or bad or, you know, like, I'll call myself out. But, like, for the most part, like, natural, you know, ups and downs in life and, you know, moments of where you're like question yourself, like that's natural. And so that's been very, very beneficial. And something else that like is in line with this that I also remember from like this practice is when we talk about our younger selves, we tend to be very critical. Like we'll, you know, make fun of the way that we looked when we were young, or we would talk about how like dumb or stupid or silly or immature, whatever it was that we were at a certain age. And like we really talk down to our younger selves. And then I realized like if my younger self was present today as a, let's say, 13, 14 year old girl, like I talk about her in a way that if she was in front of me as an actual girl, and like I work with youth a lot, like I have nieces and nephews, like I'm very used to working with, you know, younger boys and girls, and I would never talk to them the way that I talked about myself. And yet here I am like saying certain things about myself. And I'd say it's probably more about like looks when I see pictures of myself and I'm like, oh, like I was so ugly, or like, you know, I make fun of the way that I looked, my physical features. And I think everyone looked not their best, obviously, when they was young. It was before skincare. It was before certain products that might help, you know, you look good. It was before we knew how to like style ourselves and, you know, just do a lot of things that might help today. But also like our faces and our bodies were still growing. We're still evolving and changing into the person that we are, you know, today. And so I remember I was talking to my niece once and she mentioned something about her looks. And I was like, no, like don't talk to yourself like that. Like you are beautiful and, you know, words matter. You have to be really careful of like the way that you speak to yourself. And then I realized like I do that when I see older pictures of myself. Like that's, I'm literally telling her not to do something, but I'm doing it. Just because I'm, you know, years and years beyond that age, it doesn't mean that's okay. And I think it still is powerful to just remember to be kind to yourself today, your future self, and even like your younger self. And so it's always, imagine if it was another person, take yourself out of the equation. How would you talk to that person? And that's what you need to do. Talk to yourself in that way and be kind to yourself. Okay, so that was my list. I think I'm done. I'll just say two more things, and that is, and I won't even like really expand on it, but if you feel like I do most of these things. Like, I'm pretty good. I'm trying to find new ways to find purpose or feel good about myself in the new year. Two things. One, find a creative outlet. I don't care what that is. Just find it. It's super therapeutic. It's super rewarding. And usually the process is just as exciting and enjoyable as like the outcome. So whether that's writing, creating, you know, different types of art, that could be even like stuff on social media, content creating, that could be coding, like really anything. Just find something that you find creative and like get into it. Find something new to do. And if the first thing doesn't work out, try something else and keep going until you find the thing that you like. The second thing is to volunteer/give back. And that could be in many different ways. That could be with, you know, money. If you have, it's whatever really that you have to give. So if money is the thing that you have to give, give back with your money. If it's time, if it's knowledge, if your skills, if it's physical, you know, ability, give back. There's so many ways to give back to people in your community, to people in your family, to people in your life, to nonprofits, to really anything. Like, there's not a shortage of different ways that you could give back. There's stuff online. Like, you could literally tutor kids online for free. So just go online, Google, see the ways that you could give back, but try to find something that's super selfless that you can do. And I think that that's a great way to feel fulfilled and feel like you're doing something, you know, just good for the world, for the environment. Maybe you go on walks and you pick up trash. I don't know. But again, I think it helps. When you talk about people who deal with depression or mental health issues and you look at what like doctors and therapists recommend for them, a lot of it is like giving back, and usually that's a great way to help find some purpose in life and feel fulfilled, etc. So you really, like, you could, the only thing you can do is like benefit from it. So it's a great thing, but obviously if that's something that you can. So that's going to be my last two. I hope that this was helpful in some way. I know that some of this stuff sounds pretty generic, but I swear, like, application. Like, something sounds really silly until you start applying it into your life, and then you're like, oh, I get why everyone's talking about drinking water. Like, it really does help your skin and boost your mood and get rid of headaches and stuff. But it's such a simple concept that's so hard to apply sometimes and adapt. So just apply. And consistency is obviously key. But remember, be kind to yourself. I hope that you guys all are able to reach whatever hopes and dreams and goals and whatever it is that you're looking forward to in the new year. And I hope that you make a lot of progress in those goals. But remember, if you don't and things go the opposite direction and not the way that you expected, just know that that's okay. You just have to pivot. Life's all about pivoting. So thank you to the person on Instagram. I'm sorry, I don't remember who suggested it exactly, but thank you so much for suggesting this. I actually had a really great time kind of working through this and coming up with stuff. And as always, you can follow This Muslim Girl Podcast on Instagram and Twitter. Instagram, you will find the latest info/content for the podcast and the latest uploads of episodes. And I'll see you guys on the next episode, inshallah.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.